Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I see all your smiling faces and that you would appreciate the end of that little passage being read. I feel like that passage, that's what I knew about you. She had children and then she got to be the mom of John the Baptist. That's about all I thought about her. And she has been my constant companion. Why, you know, she went to Jackson Hole, Wyoming and skied with me. She's been on several plane trips with me. She was out very early with me for the morning as we worked through her story. She actually was at your pastor's house last night with me as we talked about the conclusion of our talk together. And so she's been with me a lot. And so I am very happy to give her to you this morning. But I will miss her. And as I've gotten to study this, I just realized what a beautiful woman Elizabeth is or was. And there's so much more written on her in Scripture than there was on Lot's wife. Not Lot, I would say that's Job's wife. Thank you. So it's a lot easier to know more about her from the actual Scripture and have to make up things. And one of her most amazing relationships was that she was a cousin to Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that alone is amazing. And I thought Anne did such a great job last week teaching us about Mary and Mary's beautiful response to the Lord's will. I just loved her heart. And what was so neat is Anne had said she quickly, right when she found out she was pregnant, ran to her cousin Elizabeth's home, knowing that she was a wonderful friend. And Anne asked us, who was the Elizabeth, or the Elizabeth in our life? So today I want to help us get to know her better, to see why Mary would run to her house. And I want to look at three aspects of her life. First of all, as a woman of God in her own right. Secondly, as a faithful wife along its life partner. And then thirdly, as an influential woman in her community, in her home, and as a mom, a woman who left a wonderful legacy. She finished her life well, didn't she? So she has lots of teachings and so much different than Job's wife. So Anne read that first passage that talked just a little bit about her background. She was a descendant of Aaron herself, a priestly line, and then she was the wife of a priest. And I can relate just a little bit because some of you might know the term PK, which is preacher's kid. I was a preacher's kid, I was a Bible professor's kid, and now I'm a pastor's mom. And so it can be a little intimidating sometimes because there's a lot of things that are expected of you when you're in that position. And Elizabeth could have felt that way. But it says she did well, and I love it. It says both of them had a relationship with God. She wasn't just dependent on her husband. And we don't hear about that in Scripture a lot, about the woman's relationship. We hear more about the husband. So she had her own relationship with the Lord. She said, it says she was righteous before God. She was obedient. She observed all the Lord's commands. When I thought of that, I thought, she sounds more like Job himself, doesn't she? But that was said about Job. He was blameless and obedient. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of a godly woman. And yet, with all those qualities, she was childless. They were not able to conceive, and they were old. That was when you were like, what is old? Was she my age? Was she that old? I don't know exactly how old. But it's often in biblical times when someone's childless, it's kind of seen as a disfavor. God's not favoring them. And they can even feel shameful. So here the two of them were this beautiful, sweet couple, both old and had no really human chance of a pregnancy. And you don't hear any complaining, no wavering of the faith of Elizabeth, no lack of obedience to him, no arguing with him that we hear of. We remember we studied Hannah, and she had the same issue. She could not conceive, and so one day she just threw herself to the Lord in the temple and cried and on her heart and begged him for a son. He made a bargain, really. She said, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. We know he got pregnant, had Samuel, and he became a great judge and prophet in Israel. Elizabeth knew that story because she knew the scriptures, and she also knew about Sarah, who wanted to have a child for so long and finally got one, and of Rebecca, who had to wait a long time before she conceived, and then she had twins. I wonder if Elizabeth in her heart continued to keep praying and hoping that might be her case. And I think through all her knowledge of scripture, she had truly seen that with God, all things are possible. So maybe that was her continual prayer. We don't know. But Zechariah and Elizabeth were well known in their community because of Zechariah's role as a priest. So many people in their community had seen their barrenness, and yet they got to see their unwavering faith and blameless life. And it appears that they are very well loved and admired. Now I was wondering, do you think Elizabeth had friends to share in the pain of not having a child? Because I'm sure there had to be hard times that she watched friends have children and grandchildren. And those of you that have struggled with infertility know the pain of that. And I was thinking, it's so hard for any of us to wait for things that are very important to us, critical things, not just a baby, but maybe waiting for a wayward child to come back to the Lord. That can be heartbreaking. A broken relationship that's so painful and you just want it to get healed. Maybe a difficult health issue that you keep praying will go away. A marital rift that needs to be mended and it's just taking way too long. How is our faith? How is my faith then when we're waiting? It's easy to give up and not believe that God is for us. Elizabeth is such a beautiful example of a steady, believing, trusting relationship with her God, despite her pain of not having a child. Well, then, all of a sudden, an amazing thing happened. Zechariah is chosen by lot, for he had a custom of the priesthood to go to the temple to burn incense. And as he was doing that, it says something I had not seen before. All the people were assembled outside, all the worshipers were praying outside. And an angel appeared and said to Zechariah, what angels always say, don't be afraid. I'm just reading this one word. When he said, don't be afraid, your prayer has been heard. This is from verse 13. Your wife and husband will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice. In the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. Imagine. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, return the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. How would you like that to be said? My niece's David right now is pregnant, and so it's been fun thinking of babies. What if God came to any of you and said that was going to be your child? I mean, you can't even imagine. That would be worth waiting for, wouldn't it? The wait would be worth it. Yeah. And there's so much, again, in this scripture that we could talk about John, and we could talk about Zacharias, but we are just focusing on Elizabeth this morning. And, but as neat as it was, Zacharias had a little trouble believing the angel. So he and Gabriel had a little chat, and Gabriel said, you're not going to be able to speak when your son is born because you didn't believe. So all the people are waiting. It's probably taking a little longer and wondering what's going on in the temple. And then Zacharias comes out and he couldn't speak. And so they realize something happened to him, and God had seen a vision. And I thought, but it says in our scriptures that when his time at the temple was completed, he returned home. The Bible just doesn't give us details. It's just like, oh, he did his service, then he went home. And I thought, he had to be so excited. And he couldn't wait to tell Elizabeth. But he stayed through his time of service. He practiced delayed gratification. I think he's such a good example of that. Because we would have wanted just to have left and run home. But finally, he got to go home. And it's estimated that it was about a 20-mile walk. Along, what was he thinking? And what was he thinking to tell Elizabeth and how excited and hoping she would believe him? And then he gets home and how frustrated because he can't talk. At least he can write, but you know how frustrating that would be for us. And but I just thought, how fun to see this dear, sweet couple sharing this amazing news. And we see no questioning in Elizabeth's heart. no disbelief. And soon she became pregnant. No immaculate conception like Mary, but still such a miracle. Two old people way beyond the age of possibility. And I mentioned earlier, I think she was always remembering about Sarah, Rebecca, or some of the other Bible characters. And she must have been so amazed in the light of that it happened to her. And so she went into seclusion for 5 months. And what a great time with her God. She loved so much. Just to recognize his love, she says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. So she recognized the Lord's love for her. I agree with that. She did lots of praying and praising God and just soaking in this new joy. And it made me think that we take time to thank God and bathe in his presence when he answers our prayers. I think it's so easy to pray, have a she soaked it in and just appreciated it. And I think it's a good example for us. We need to celebrate when God answers our prayers and take time to rejoice before we respond. Elizabeth did that. And of course, she had a very unusual child inside of her and was preparing for all that would entail. And I think she came to the realization for all that time that her baby had come at just the right time. Not too early, not too late. Coming to prepare people's hearts for the Messiah. God's timing is always right. It's not ours, but it is right. And I thought, could she even imagine that it was going to be her cousin that would have the Messiah? I just think the relationships are so amazing. Well, meanwhile, Gabriel the angel is busy. He's now going to Mary and announcing to Mary that she would conceive and bear a son that would be the Messiah, Jesus. And Anne shared that and talked so much about Mary's amazing response. And she left us with the words, "May it be to me as you have said." Isn't that a neat response of Mary? And we say that when the Lord tells us something. So as soon as she found out, she says she hurried. And she shared this, and she ran to Elizabeth's home. And again, I think this says things about Elizabeth. What made Mary run to her was her love. This is my PowerPoint. I'm copying Anne. I love that picture that Anne showed us.
That's cute.
And there they are. And we'll talk later about how Elizabeth is so joyful in that picture. So beautiful that. So that's a good thing to remember. And it made me think, too, in times of great joy, when something wonderful has happened to someone, are you one that they would run to? Knowing that you would share their joy, wouldn't be jealous or take away from them, but that they would run to you. I would like to be that kind of person. I would like to be more like Elizabeth. And Elizabeth did not disappoint Mary in any way. And I just think this is such a fun story as they met. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she actually turned into a prophet. Prophesied in a loud voice to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" By mistake. And Anna mentioned last week, we see a beautiful picture of the Trinity here. And I love the humble attitude that we see in Elizabeth to her very young cousin. Absolutely no rivalry, no competition, just not thinking, man, I had to wait so long, 80 years, and you're barely an adult, you're still a child, and you get to have this. No, none of that. She goes on to say, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. It's joy, lots of joy. Even miraculous joy from John. And it's almost as if he jumped and he wanted to welcome his master. We can't even picture all that. It's just so many miraculous things happening and going on with these ladies. And there is the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all there together. What a special story. And this story has a little bit of significance for us because I can remember, I knew family story, and when I was pregnant with my first son, we had not felt any movement in him yet, and I had been studying the story of John and David, and told my husband, lying in bed, I said, John, we hear a lot about David, but John was the one person, and right then, I felt him for the first time. And so I said, Jerry, feel this, and he felt it, and he did it again, and so we kind of felt left for joy. It's either girls saying no, or we didn't want to tell people that, but we did tell them from then on. And so that's what it was. But it was fun to know that Bible story.
That's cute.
Elizabeth then goes on, and she keeps blessing Mary, and she said, blessed are you who has believed that the Lord fulfilled his promise to you. And I thought how much Mary must have needed that reassurance. So it was also new to her, and how this bothered her. Elizabeth was the perfect one for her to go to. And you know, what you really notice is, where you study, you see things. Elizabeth did not talk about herself this time. She gives her attention to Mary. She suspends her own need to share her marvelous news, because think how she would want to talk about that. And so Mary has shared hers. She listens to Mary. She listens to this beautiful song Mary gives to the Lord. And I talked about the term sustained Job's wife, and it's suspending our own needs and our own talk so we can listen to someone who's really done, and that was convicting to some of you. Elizabeth, I think, is such a beautiful illustration of that. So she listened to Mary, and Mary shared the whole thing. And then it says they get to have 3 months together. And I thought, wouldn't that be fun? And then part of their conversation is to listen. I'm sure they talked about some of the same things we would. How are you feeling? How's your body doing? Are you eating the right things? Today with me, are you sure you're gluten-free and all those things? But two mothers, one of John, the preparer of the way, the mother of the Messiah, his way must be prepared. I can't even imagine. And as I was reading this, I had never really figured this out before. Elizabeth was in her 6 months, and Mary stayed 3 months. She stayed until almost No, that's the fun thing about really studying. There's little details you seem to read, and they don't always connect. And that's why I love studying these women in the Bible, because we're getting to know them in a new way. And so my prayer for all my ladies, after you study these, and then you just go on with your scripture reading, you'll come across these women. Oh, I know her, and I remember a lot more about her. So I really think this is a great study. Other slides just talking about their bodies. Then Mary leaves, and Elizabeth gives birth. And the neighbors and relatives all around them hear it. And what do they hear? They hear that the Lord has shown her great mercy. And it says they shared in her joy. There's that joy again. Lots of joy, which I think leads us to believe that Elizabeth definitely exhibited the fruit of the Spirit of joy. I would like to be around her. I just kept getting to appreciate her more and more. So we see a beautiful older woman, full of faith, from the priestly line of Aaron. She was righteous, obedient to, and knowledgeable of God's command. One that walked blamelessly. One who didn't complain. One who wasn't jealous, competitive, but one who could rejoice with others. She was able to model sustained empathy, and capable of great joy for others and herself. One who recognized that God was in control, and had blessed her with. One who was filled temporarily with the Holy Spirit and was able to prophesy regarding Jesus. I mean, that's quite a woman. She can be a little intimidating. You know, friends like that sometimes, it's just like everything they do is good, right? Well, I think instead of being intimidated by them, we want to use them as a model. And so Elizabeth is a beautiful model, just as in her own right, as a woman of a godly nature. But even though she has her independence, second thing I wanted to just look at is that she was also a very supportive wife and a lifelong partner for Zacharias. section of scripture when her baby was still circumcised, and people were coming and said, expecting her to name him after his father, Zacharias. And she spoke up and said, no, he will be called John. And they replied that there was no one in the family with that name. And so I thought she didn't give in to peer pressure or tradition, but she was loyal to her husband and obeyed what he told her. And the question again for us is, do we respect our husband's wishes? Are we loyal to him? Are we his balcony person? And I spoke to Joe's wife, we talked about balcony people who lift you up or basement people who pull you down. Elizabeth was a balcony person with her husband. And many of you mentioned that it's easier to be a balcony person for friends sometimes than for our husbands. And so Elizabeth is a good example of being that for her husband. She supported Zacharias. And I went back and reread the scriptures about their relationship and noticed quite a few statements that I think would indicate they had a great relationship. And just in the first chapter, 1:6 says, both of them were the right person. Both of them were together. They were childless. It says, your petition has been heard and your wife bears. I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. After this, his wife became pregnant. I love that. I just think it was a dear connection that you don't always see mention of couples in the Bible. They seem like they were very, very close, even to old age. They certainly were better as a couple, or she as a wife, than some of the women we've studied. And just briefly, we have Eve. And Eve was okay because she's in a perfect environment and she helped cause her son, her husband, to disobey God, to not trust God. Sarah was pretty good, but then when they didn't get a child, she gave her handmaiden to Abraham, so she went ahead of God's timing. Rebecca started out so well, but then she greatly deceived her husband and encouraged her son to give a really good lie to his father. Peninnah was jealous and mean to Hannah, and her husband had to deal with all those emotions men don't love to do. Job's wife was definitely not loving, not there for him in the hardest times. And as I was thinking about it, I thought, sometimes that those wives convict us of some of the things that we do more than Elizabeth. Elizabeth finished well as a wife, and they as a couple continued to serve and give. And because of that, the impact of the whole community, and especially, I'm sure, their son, John. After Elizabeth supported Zacharias and wrote down, his name is John, immediately Zacharias could see, and his first words were, praise God. And I think how exciting that must have been for Elizabeth. They could finally share and talk about their child. And all their neighbors were watching all this, and it says that they were filled with awe. And throughout the whole countryside of Judea, many were talking about these things and asking, I wondered what this child was going to be like, what's going to happen, miraculous things were going on. And they recognized the Lord's goodness upon them. Zacharias and Elizabeth modeled a beautiful faith and a joyful, worshipful relationship with the Lord and those around them. And so obviously must have to their son, John, as he grew. When we live like that, people notice. What do people say about your family, my family? What do they see about your faith? It is believed that both Zacharias and Elizabeth died before John was grown. Which is kind of sad, but that's true. But I thought, knowing they probably knew their time might be short because of their age, and I thought, think of all they would want to teach John while they could. Much like Hannah must have felt trying to teach Sam for a few years. Both of them had such a rich history of Bible knowledge that they could give them. They probably knew the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi, that says, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. They could tell him he was the answer to that prophecy. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? Pretty amazing. Another couple that had an amazing son in the Old Testament was Samson's parents. Remember Samson, the strong man? And they prayed, Judges 13:8, teach us what we should do unto this child. And I thought, I bet you that was Elizabeth's prayer every day. And I want to add, I bet she prayed, Lord, give me energy to keep up with this child. I mean, he was a wild man. I have a wild grandson right now, and I bet you if they were near my age, you need to pray for lots of intercession. Besides great Bible knowledge, Zacharias and Elizabeth had a beautiful marriage, which would give John security and love and modeling of godly life. And I thought often modeling can be a very important form of teaching. Sometimes it's best that our kids watch us, and they know us best. I started bike riding at the age of about 40. I used to kind of make fun of all the clothes these bikers wore. They'd have these certain pants and jerseys. So he heard all that. Well, then when I got into it, I realized that each one had a purpose. So I started buying them all. And he came up to me and said, "Mom, you're such a hypocrite." And that's why I told him why I actually had to change my tune. But I thought they watch us so carefully, so modeling. And I was thinking, I got Mary and Elizabeth and that up with each other. I'm sure it days at the temple, but to talk over the years as their sons grew and encourage one another in their mothering. And again, I wonder how their conversations would go. How big is your son now? How is he doing? Is he very unique compared to other kids? I think they would understand each other in another way. How are you doing with the great responsibility of raising this child? And I love what's said about both of their sons. What said of John in Luke 1:80, the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he publicly appeared in Israel. 3 years and became strong. And it says of Jesus in Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and man. Two amazing men growing up together. So just to conclude, Elizabeth, I think, is a wonderful example for us today. I hope that made her a little bit more real. She has now become one of my most favorite characters in the Bible. She wasn't before. And it just appears that her whole life was one of walking blamelessly before the Lord, obeying and pointing others to Him. What a great example. A woman who was a faithful wife, a lifelong partner, supported and encouraged her husband, and walked alongside of him until they died. A friend that Mary wanted to run to and stay with. And I would imagine many others felt that way about her. An older woman who was entrusted with an amazing son, whom she helped grow in his faith and fulfill his call. She could be a little intimidating, but let's use her as an example. And how can we follow her example? I wanted to say, this is our application. If you're young here today, be proactive in following the Lord. Don't let the world around you squeeze you. Stand out for Jesus. Be a supportive wife if you're married. Be a hospitable and be a friend that people would run to and work on. Learn God's word and teach it to your children. Those are some things young women can do. I heard it said once, it was my mom actually, if you want to be a nice old lady, you have to be a nice young lady. Because sadly enough, we don't automatically grow better with age. You're on the later side of life in here this morning. I want to encourage those of us at that point, don't give up. Keep your walk with God fresh. Sometimes when you've been a Christian for so long, I think we know it. You know, we just know so much, you know a lot of the Bible, but keep it fresh. Keep serving God in ways that can work for you now. They might be different than when we were younger, but don't quit. Finish well. And she finished not only well, but she finished with joy. And I love our lesson that you're going to do in your small groups. It centers on that joy. So I want to leave her with you all this morning and ask the question, how can we be more like Elizabeth? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of amazing godly women. Lord, I pray that she will be a model for us to follow. And there are areas that maybe we feel weak in, we can just ask the Holy Spirit to just fill us, Lord, and help us be the woman that you want us to be. We're all so different. But help us to continue to grow and learn and serve the Lord. Show the world. great time of sharing.